This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Mustangs have it. Guess you better slow than Mustang down.
How about that for soul? The Commitments. Do you remember them? I wonder if they're still committed. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. It is indeed Friday, May 1st, finally. May Day. May Day. Help us. I am here along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. And we're going to be, there's so much to do. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with John Berlow of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about how the Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, is playing games with, you know, those fees. If you have mutual funds, you'll see you're going to be charged 12B fees. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about those fees and the way the SEC is allowed to kind of play around with it. It means a lot of money to mutual fund companies, so stay tuned for that. And 10 more states today opening up, with Florida following suit on Monday. Are they jumping the gun on this? Well, we're going to talk about that along with the assault claims against Joe Biden. He went on TV this morning and finally started answering a couple of questions. So Andrew the Master Barber, who is the proprietor of the only poll that really makes a difference, the poll that Mid-America, mainstream America, believes in, the Barber Poll. And why walking matters during the pandemic. We're going to talk about why you should slip on those loafers, get outside, get out on the sidewalk and start walking. We're going to talk about all the psychological and physical benefit to that. And in our ultimate top 10, where are the top 10 greatest places to go for beaches? We're going to tell you the top 10 places with the best beaches in the world. Okay. Well, lots to talk about. I guess I didn't see it. Maybe Ed, maybe you had it on, or maybe you heard something about it. I have not. But apparently your buddy Joe Biden went on television this morning, I think it was on MSNBC, to dispute the charges that he had anything to do with this little lady by the name of Tara Reid, even though she was working for him at the time.
Well, with Joe Biden, it took about 15, 20 minutes to say the words, it never happened. By the time he got it out, it took about 15 minutes.
Did you watch any of it?
No.
Okay. You know, the only reason I asked if you watched it is, you know, you can read the words to something, but you got to kind of watch somebody. Mm-hmm. They say you can kind of tell when people are being honest if you watch them.
Body language, yeah.
The old body language. Have you heard about, like, will they look you straight in the eye? Will they blink a lot? You know, things like that.
The thing is, somebody like that's been coached.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure when you go in front of the media, you
yeah, he's
like
had
this.
About 150 people talking to him.
Give eye contact and shake your fist and stuff like that.
Yes. It comes at a very inopportune time for Mr. Biden, does it not? Months before?
We got to remember all those women that supposedly were mishandled by Trump. They just came out of the woodwork with no backing behind them at all.
Yeah.
At least this woman has friends that she told at the time that it happened in 90-whatever.
93. In fact, guess who was in the White House then? None other than Bubba himself, who was the subject of a lot of sexual harassment charges, was he not? Anyway, Biden denied all the allegations that were leveled against him by a former staffer. Her name is Tara Reid. And he finally went on TV. I think he was on Joe Scarborough's show. And that Mika lady, the sidekick to Joe Scarborough, was asking him questions. He said that, no, it's not true. He said, I'm saying unequivocally, it never happened. And it didn't. It never happened. Now, here's the thing about when you tell somebody that you did not do something, unless you got some witnesses, you can say it 1,000,000,000 times, and people can't really know whether or not it's true. I mean, it just comes down to a he said, she said. So there was nobody else in the place. Here was what was kind of interesting as I was reading the whole dealy about it. Why would Biden have her bring him his athletic bag? Apparently, she was told that she was supposed to take Joe Biden's athletic bag to him. Now, that to me sounded a little strange. Apparently, when she made the handoff, she and Biden were alone. And that's when he started his little groping exercise.
I've got that if you want to hear it.
Do you really? Yeah, let's hear a little bit of what. This is Joe Biden on MSNBC. Okay.
I'm not going to question her motive. I'm not going to get into that at all. I don't know why she's saying this. I don't know why after 27 years, all of a sudden this gets raised. I don't understand it. They interviewed dozens of my staff members, not just senior staff, but staff members, I'm told. At least that's what they said. And yes. Nobody. This was not the atmosphere in my office at all. No one has ever said anything like this.
You know the one thing, Ed, about that? And I think these words are somewhat telling, and maybe it's just me. He says, I don't remember it. Hey, you would remember it.
See, that's the easy way out.
You would remember it.
That's the legal, easy way out. I don't remember
it. That's why I become suspicious, because he says, I don't remember it. Instead of saying, no, it never happened, ever, and I would have remembered it. I would have remembered it. He says, no, I don't remember it.
It's funny how they accept that explanation, but when Trump was accused of all those other women, supposedly, that came out and said...
But even there, he wasn't... I don't recall that he was charged with sexually assaulting.
No, not before. Charged, no.
But no, but I mean, excuse me, accused.
Accused.
Was he accused of sexually assaulting anybody? Maybe he was.
Yeah, he groped them, supposedly.
Really?
Yeah.
All I remember him saying is... He made a comment to a guy, obviously he didn't expect anybody would repeat it, but it was like, and this is what I do, you know, it's not like was he ever accused by a woman of...
Well, what was the one that looked like Wayne's World, the guy in Wayne's World with the glasses? What was her name? She was the one that said she was groped, I believe.
Okay, well, I shouldn't say I don't remember it. Now people think I do. No, I don't remember that, but okay. Now I understand. But, you know, even more noticeable, of course, on the double standard is Neil Kavanaugh, the
guy
that
exactly.
ran for Supreme Court Justice.
Exactly.
So that's all you got to know about that. We don't have to even go any further talking about it because there's so many other things. But I did want to mention that Nancy Pelosi got all upset, too. It's always good to see her get her pants in a tight wad. And she doubled down on her support of Biden yesterday. She was asked about it, and she told the guy, I respect your question, after he went on about the double standard. She said, I don't need a lecture or a speech. Well, that's good. I'm glad she doesn't. Pelosi says she supports the Me Too movement. If they really did, they would demand as much information as possible about all of this. Anyway, we're going to talk about something entirely different. Now for something entirely different, as Monty Python used to say. Remember that? Now for something entirely...
Sorry, that was before me.
It was not.
Yes,
and
it was.
And you can stop saying that nonsense. It was not. You were around in the 80s, weren't you?
Yeah, of course I was. Okay.
No. All right. Anyway.
I must have missed that show.
We're going to have John Berlow talk to us a little bit about the SEC. Are they playing games with those fees that mutual fund companies are allowed to charge their customers? We'll talk to him about that.
The world can see that you were meant for me. All of my life I've been waiting. Tonight there'll be no.
hate no boy.
Oh boy.
When you're with me, oh boy.
Oh boy.
The whole world can see that you were meant for me.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on the first day of May, Friday, May 1st, and delighted to have you with us here on Freedom Work. Delighted to have back an old buddy, John Burlow, who is a senior fellow at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Securities and Exchange Commission and whether or not they're playing games with the fees that mutual fund companies are allowed to charge their customers. You know those fees, you'll see it if you've got those mutual funds, you'll see something about Rule 12b1 fees, you know, and you figure, okay, I guess it's sort of buried in the in the deal when I'm investing. John, welcome back. How are you?
Good to be on, Paul. As you know, working at home, trying to shelter in place, but still trying to preserve our freedom.
Yes.
My colleagues at CEI.org are.
Indeed. I'm glad to hear that you're staying safe, staying well. And so, John, you know, everybody that's ever invested in a mutual fund will see that little thing about 12B1 fees. And I guess you just say, well, you know, that's the price that you pay for, you know, investing in the thing. Most people don't know too much about it. But tell us a little bit about this alliance of groups, including the Competitive Enterprise Institute, that are kind of going after the SEC about the way they are handling this, if you would.
Yes, well, we filed a letter with the New Civil Liberties Alliance, as well as some business groups talks about one of the issues is the way that they're handling this. Instead of doing this through the formal rule notice and comment process, they're doing this through, you know, what Wayne Cruz, who I believe you've had on the show, is called regulatory dark matter, through kind of a series of edicts, like guidances that are kind of disguised regulations, but without the public's comments process, and through what we call, or what others call, regulation by enforcement, by taking enforcement action, even though Congress and even the agency is not, you know, issued a formal rule saying that this conduct is illegal.
Yeah, and so it gets very, I don't know, you know, for most people that have mutual funds, they go, I remember the day when you would go to a broker and the guy would talk to you, and then he would charge you like 10 or 15%, but then you found these mutual fund companies and they said, look, we don't, you know, we allow you to invest, and we don't charge you those 10 to 15% fees, you know? But they did have to make money somehow, right? And so is that what, tell us a little bit about what the 12B1 fees are.
Yes. Well, 12B1 fees are really paid by the funds themselves. They're disclosed, but they're actually what the funds, you know, give as like a commission to investment advisors. There are similar things for brokers, and it's fully disclosed to the investor. And if it weren't for those, as we point out, and as you know, studies have shown, there would be actually a lot more fees charged to the retail investor, because if investment advisors couldn't get that compensation, you know, how would they make their money? So it's a similar situation. I wrote in a blog at CEI.org to when you buy a home from the seller's agent. Now, you can always get your own buyer's agent, but from the seller's real estate agent, you know, I mean, that agent is being paid by the seller, but you can look for yourself and do your own due diligence. And if you don't want that, you know, you could get a buyer's agent. So no one's forcing people to buy funds with 12b1 fees, but it lowers costs for a lot of middle class and investors, and the SEC is trying to take this away without going through the process. And this is unfortunately part of a pattern by Chairman Jay Clayton, who Trump appointed, but has been siding with the two Democrats on the commission against President Trump's other two Republican commissioners, not just on this rule, but on others, like some that would, you know, effectively ban certain types of mutual funds. So the SEC under Clayton's chairmanship and with the two Democrats has not been as, you know, following sort of President Trump's philosophy of deregulation like the other agencies have.
Right. What is the motivation for the SEC to do this?
To do this or the other?
What is the motivation for them to deal sort of in a ham-handed way with mutual fund companies? Why is this a political thing?
I'm not sure. You know, we've got the administrative state, deep state, or whatever you want to call them. And this is, you know, they have sort of a nanny state view that, you know, consumers' disclosure doesn't work and consumers can't, or investors can't decide for themselves. And unfortunately, the chairman of the SEC, unlike the other two Republican commissioners who are pretty free market, like Commissioner Hester Peirce, but Clayton is just entirely too deferential to these guys, and including letting them do things like here that violate the law by basically doing enforcement without even a rule.
But, I mean, is there any political advantage for Democrats to be on one side of this issue? And, you know, to the casual observer like I am, and our listeners are, they don't know anything about, these are kind of internal things going on. But there's always a political motivation if all the Democrats are on one side, right, and all the Republicans are on another. Is it simply a matter of too much regulation and the Democrats want it, as opposed to a deregulation because the Republicans feel that this is not a necessary thing to make anybody more honest or whatever?
I think that's it. I mean, I think we've had plenty to criticize Republicans about over the years, but the Democrats in general are in favor of more government regulation, and including, you know, like, say, you look at the state securities regulators, and if you can believe, in 1980, Massachusetts actually banned the Apple IPO because they thought it would be too risky for investors, and Massachusetts mom-and-pop investors, the rich guys always have a way around it. They could be accredited investors and things like that, lost out on getting in an Apple in an early stage there. So we don't want the SEC at the federal level, which is bound by Congress, to be a disclosure-type agency, to have disclosure but let, you know, investors decide on the risk, becoming like Massachusetts was in 1980.
Yeah. Sure. We're talking with John Berlow. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and CEI has joined with three other organizations to file a petition challenging the Security and Exchange Commission's regulation enforcement involving these 12B1 fees. And it seems to come down to the same old story that these kinds of regulations that maybe have been sitting around on the books or whatever, that most people don't even think about. And yet when push comes to shove, it's like throwing a wrench into the spokes a little bit, right?
Right. And I think especially now that, you know, people, you know, this could be very disruptive to the market, to, you know, people, you know, what they, I mean, raising what people, doing an action that effectively could raise the fees that the overall fees that people could pay for their mutual funds in these, you know, volatile times with everything that's going on in COVID-19 would be especially disruptive. And so we've made the point about never needed regulations. We use the hashtag never needed and getting rid of them, including, you know, everything from seemingly minor things like having alcohol to go from restaurants that make delivery to other things that can really, you know, affect livelihood, affect public, affect, you know, even our response to COVID-19, like the FDA red tape for the drugs that, you know, the Trump administration commendably is loosening. So we can get more life-saving drugs out there. But the worst kind of never needed regulations are not only this one we point out is not only, and I point out in my blog, not only never needed, but never authorized. Wow. Not authorized by Congress, not by a formal rule through the SEC.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, it's people like you and organizations like you. I think we got to remember, you're the ones that stand guard at the gate. I want to switch, and you brought it up, this pandemic situation, John. We've got 10 more states opening up today. Our state, Florida, Monday, in certain ways. And, you know, from a business perspective, I mean, I'm thinking about all of these small businesses. And I'm just thinking every day that it doesn't open up, a bunch of them bite the dust. So I just want to get your general feeling. Do you think it's high time that these states start relaxing the rules, knowing that there is, as always, going to be some risk involved?
I think it should be up to the states. I'm not a public health expert, so I really can't speak with authority. But I do think, you know, public policy has to recognize there's risks, and including the risk of stagnation, the risk of doing nothing, and we're seeing a lot of stagnation. We pointed that out for decades, in fact, with the FDA and drugs. That the FDA, if it doesn't approve a safe drug, it's the same as approving a dangerous drug. If that drug could save 10,000 lives, if you approve it tomorrow, how many died yesterday waiting for it?
Right.
Said those things back to the 90s. So that there's never going to be a risk-free society, and it's not just risk versus benefit, it's risk versus risk. There are, from keeping things shut down, from keeping things sheltering in place, some risks that could incur. I mean, at the same time, people, you know, the economy, as long as, you know, we don't get the pandemic under control, I mean, people aren't going to go out a lot anyway.
That's right.
So it could affect that. But yeah, that, you know, there's no such thing as risk-free. And as I said, I'm not a public health expert,
no.
I think it's unrealistic to say we'll get this down to zero. We've never gotten I'm not saying this is the same as the flu, but we've never gotten the flu, or we've never gotten car accidents down to zero. So that has to be recognized.
Yeah.
There's always going to be some risk.
You know, it's interesting, and this has nothing to do with your expertise, but with all the people staying at home throughout the world and not venturing out, really not venturing out, I would suspect more people will be alive than would have been if we never had the pandemic. You know?
That is.
Do you ever think about that?
That more people will be alive?
Yes. Because of the pandemic, actually, thinking about it on a global basis, with all the people that are sheltered, you know, hunkered down because of the pandemic, you got to look at all of the people that, had we not had the pandemic, would be out and about getting in their cars, doing this, doing that. That, in other words, there might be more people that will be alive because we are hunkering down.
Because of fewer car accidents.
Because of all of that.
That's a point, and sometimes, you know, mortality rates go up during, you know, depressions and recessions because more people are staying
that's
at home,
true.
Aren't getting in workplace accidents.
That's
at
right.
The same time, things like delaying elective procedures, including,
true.
In some cases, things like chemotherapy,
very true.
could kill people. If,
no, that's true.
If, yes.
No, you're exactly right. I'm just saying it's kind of an interesting thing. It would be, and there's probably no way of ever knowing it, but I guess on a final note, do you think that the way the governors are handling this kind of slow opening for business's sake is in the long run, going to be somewhat effective? I mean, we've got a bunch of states, especially out west in some of the less populated areas, where basically, you know, businesses are allowed to continue to function. We don't hear much about it, but, you know, Wyoming, Idaho, and some of those places, as opposed to the east here. So
I think it's certainly been shown that population density is a big factor, people taking the subway in New York, and it'll be interesting to see in states like Wyoming and Nebraska. Now, I understand even in those states, some counties with no stay-at-home orders, some counties could have that. But, yeah, that would be something to look at, because there are ways you can adjust for population density and others, and seeing if they had, you know, higher or lower mortality rates in the states that did have the stay-at-home orders. So I think that's definitely a lesson. Hopefully we'll never have a next, you know, public health crisis like this.
No,
but to
God willing.
To prevent or head it off, certainly.
And maybe this new, I guess this new drug or whatever it is that they are now working on, and the free market going like crazy on it here, if they can speed that up, maybe, you know, businesses will come to the rescue once again.
I think so, too. I mean, who would have thought before March that distilleries could be, you know, retrofitted to be make hand sanitizer. But that's the innovation in the dynamic free market. And that's why, you know, no central bureaucrat could plan that. And we need to leave, you know, there are some things like for public health government coordination, but we need to let businesses free to innovate and make a profit and do all the things they do.
Exactly.
All the great things they've achieved.
Exactly right. Always a pleasure, John. Thank you so much for your time. And I hope the next time you and I talk, things will have been opened up a lot more.
I hope so, too. CEI.org is our website. Thanks for having me on.
Indeed. Paul. Indeed. John Berlow. All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we've got our buddy, Master Barber Andrew Ceraci. 10 more states starting to open up. Florida's going to follow suit on Monday. The assault claims against Biden. Got a lot to talk about with the Master Barber.
She touched by me in painted on jeans.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
During these trying times, our troops need our help more than ever. Right now, blood supplies are at an all-time low. Just one pint of blood can help save the lives of our servicemen and women. So give the gift of life. Give blood. It's safe, simple, and saves lives. That's courtesy of RNC Auto and Truck Repair, your complete auto shop with quality work at prices you can afford. For a free estimate, call 727-447-3343. That's 727-447-3343 for RNC Auto and Truck Repair in Clearwater.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tan Talk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
And to get hot, I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
Ah, yes. We love you, Joe. We love you, buddy. The way that you grab the head of the girl that's sitting there next to you at the dais, and you kind of give her a nice kiss on the forehead and sneak up behind them and rub their shoulders. It's wonderful.
Sniff their hair.
Speaking about all of that, We've got the master barber, Andrew Sorese, who's a great Joe Biden supporter, by the way, here with us. And Andrew, did you get a chance to listen to Joe Biden talk about his relationship with this former staff worker? He went on MSNBC this morning.
I believe Joe. You got no idea how much I believe him. I mean, his word is gold to me. This guy is full of crap, Paul. Okay, let me tell you what.
Go ahead.
Okay, let me tell you what. We need to listen to the women, Paul, just like the Me Too movement says it. Everything. Where's the women?
There you go.
Okay? They're all full of crap, Paul.
Yeah.
Every one of these freaking Democrats. Look what's going down. Remember I told you, I'm trying to think how far back it was. Comey, Lisa Page, John Brennan, Jim, they're all going to go down. Remember me telling you that, Paul?
Yes, I do.
Guess what,
I do.
Paul? They're going down. I see the start of it now. You saw what's going on with the allegations with Comey, with the FBI. You mark my words. Trump is working behind all of this. All this coronavirus smokescreen. Trump is still working. You mark my words, what's going to happen, Paul.
Michael Flynn is looking better and better, is he not? After you start to hear more and more about how, in these emails that they have found, how they were setting him up. I mean, it is depressing to see how the FBI, that top echelon, was involved in trying to set this guy up.
It's disgusting, Paul. Let me tell you something. It's like I told you before. They took the place of the mafia, and they're making the mafia look like Mary Poppins. But their time is coming. Trump is working behind the scenes through this coronavirus, not just everybody else thinking they're scamming. Trump knows what's going on, okay? I'm a little bit upset with what's going on in Florida. I think we should have opened up a lot more. Yeah. I think our governor needs to grow a little bit of cayunes a little bit more.
Okay.
To be honest with you. I mean, you know, I like the guy and I'm a fan.
You are.
But no,
yes, you are.
Oh, no, 25%. Come on, man. Let's grow a pair. Let's get this economy moving. Okay, I would rather die from the flu than die of starvation because of a depression, okay?
Okay.
Let's be real here.
Yeah, now, Governor DeSantis has announced, he announced it, by the way, on Wednesday, that starting this Monday, restaurants and stores, kind of like retail stores, allowed to reopen at 25% capacity. Now, of course, you're coming at it from, you know, let's be honest, from a certain point of view. You are a great barber, and you have a great barber shop, and you want to get open again. And we discussed that, too. I don't know why barbershops aren't at the front. And the reason
they can go to the dentist, you can go to the doctor. Come on, let's be real here.
Exactly.
This is a bunch of crap. They need to get off. They need to get off of what the hell they're doing. Get over their fear, man. They need to get over their fear, because that's all this is. And you know what? You know how I can spot a true Democrat now?
I know why. A face mask.
In their car.
Oh, in their car.
Driving by themselves in their car with their face
with
mask.
The face mask.
No, they are a Democrat. This is the new, the face mask is the new pink cat, buddy.
Okay. So what about the people in the grocery store that are wearing face masks? You can't really count them as possible Democrats, right?
Paul, look, I get so fed up with this. I go to Publix and I sit there and laugh. Arrows pointing, one-way streets up and down the aisles. Come on, people. What do you think this is? Nazi Germany again here?
Did I tell you my solution for that? Like, when you come to an aisle where the arrow is pointing the other way, what you do is you turn around and walk backwards to what you want to pick up. And it works. It works every time.
Well, I had to laugh the other day. I had to go to the bank on Monday, okay? And I got there at 9 o'clock thinking they open up at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, I'm waiting there and nobody opens. Finally, I look over. Now, we open up from 10 till 6 instead of 9 till 6 because of the coronavirus. So what the hell is 1 hour going to do?
Exactly. I'm just wondering.
Number one.
That is
number
an excuse.
One. When I get back there at 10 o'clock, there's a line of people around the building waiting to get into the bank. Well, naturally, you know, I had to start up a little something in that position.
Yes.
I sat there and I looked at these little old women standing in line, waiting to go to the, hardly able to stand up. They got them standing in line. I looked at them and I said, how do you people like this? They're letting two people at a time in the bank. Wouldn't this be a good time to get held up out here? You got 50 people outside with their pockets full of money. Meanwhile, they're worried about the virus with two people in the bank. How stupid are these people?
That's an interesting perspective. You know, they're doing that at some of these grocery stores like that too. You got to literally stand in line, and you have to do a safe social distance outside. And then, you know, somebody goes out, and then they allow the next one in. It is kind of frustrating. And then there was this, I got to tell you this because you'll get a kick out of it. There was this guy that kept moving back and forth in the line, did not have a mask on, much to the disappointment and growing anger of this woman who did have a mask on, because he kept backing up closer to her. And she would ask him to kindly keep his distance, and he would turn around and start talking to her. You just had to see it, Andrew. And this is,
Paul, it's all ridiculous. Yeah. This has come to a point. It needs to stop. Put it away. Okay. Read your death notices every day in the freaking paper. People are dying. Like my wife this morning. Oh, my God, 50 people died in Florida last night. So that's kind of pretty low compared to 22 million. It's, I guarantee you, how many people die a day in this freaking state.
Well, one thing, and I don't want to belittle this because it is a crisis, but do you ever think that for all of the people that are not going out and about around the world and are hunkered down, that we might actually be saving lives? In other words,
so they're not getting run over by cars.
They're not getting run over.
I haven't heard of anybody getting shot.
I mean, in the long run, we're complaining about how people are dying from this thing. But in the long run, I bet you, I tend to think more people will be alive than would have been without the pandemic. Now, that's just a little side comment.
Yeah, Paul. You know, I agree with you. Like I say, this has gone far enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
We need to count on Biden here now. Let's change the subject. Let's get Biden get treated like Kavanaugh was. I'm going to see these women coming out of the closets like they did him.
Well, first of all, he was in a controlled situation. We played a little bit of it before he came on. He was in a controlled situation. Did you notice it? Did you notice that he says, "I don't remember it"?
He doesn't remember too much of anything does he?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't remember yesterday, possibly.
That's what I'm saying.
However, if a person was truly innocent, Andrew, truly knew they did not do it, would they say, "I don't remember it"? Or would
I'd be screaming up and down that I didn't do
it? Exactly. You would say, "I do remember that I didn't do it."
Yeah, what do you think about his girlfriend there, Nancy Pelosi? Oh, I still think that woman needs to be shot. I'll tell you, she's the most disgusting, vile piece of poop I've ever seen in my life.
Can you tell us how you really feel about her? Because you sometimes hold back. Well, you know, actually, she got upset that somebody questioned.
I saw that. She snapped
at the guy that was asking the question, apparently.
I don't need a lecture.
Exactly. She said, "I respect your opinion. I don't need a lecture or a speech." And then she kind of shut down the interview.
In the rear end. She needs to be gone. Let me tell you something. Trump is in the background. You're going to see the hammer come down on these people. Believe me. The hammer's coming down. And I'll tell you what. Trump has backed up every statement he said, every promise he said he was going to do, didn't he? He's backing every one of them up. And you know what? You're going to see Hillary go down. I know at one point Trump said, we'll just kind of... Believe me, it's in the back of his mind. He's going to make that promise come true, and you're going to see Hillary go down with the rest of these buffoons.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
I can't wait to see James Comey and that Peter Schultz. Let me tell you, what a disgusting thing he is.
Yeah.
And Lisa Page. Oh, and I'll tell you what, you know who I wouldn't want to be right now?
Who?
I would not want to be Andrew Gillum, because...
Oh,
think
my
about what they,
goodness.
He right now is in rehab, isn't he?
I think he claims to be in rehab, yes.
Let me tell you something. How would you like to be him when he gets out of rehab and wants to go home to his wife? Well, there is nothing worse in the world than a mad black woman. You ever see that movie?
Oh, God.
The Diary of a Mad Black Woman?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. When she gets a hold of him, he's going to wish he was Biden and everybody else.
Wait a second. First of all, everybody needs to know that Andrew Gillum was the Democrat that ran for governor against Ron DeSantis and lost. He was backed, by the way. I always like to look at the Tampa Bay Times, that's our local newspaper, who backed Gillum. Because I want to see how much egg on their face they are willing to admit for a guy that got caught with another couple of men, basically in a motel room. I think he was passed out in his own
They wore him out. The male prostitute wore him out. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, talk about—and he was the leading candidate for the Democrats for governor?
Yeah. Yeah, Paul, these Democrats have got to go. I mean, even in Tampa, look at that Jane Castor. What a buffoon she is.
Okay,
the mayor over there.
She's the mayor
of Tampa. Everybody thought she's going to be there. She's going to be there. She's nothing. She's a typical Democrat.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the Democrats are not having a good week, Andrew. They're not having a good week at all.
They're not going to have a good year. Believe me, Trump gets them, I can't wait to see this start. I've been waiting 2 years. I've been talking about this, Paul.
Well,
and I can't wait to see him walk Comey off in handcuffs.
Well, indeed, I cannot wait for you to be open again so I can come over and get the best haircut you can get in Tampa Bay. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But when you do, we've been talking with Andrew about possibly doing a live show from there while people are coming in, you know. And that'll be kind of like a celebration day for us, Andrew.
Oh, Paul, I want to do a live radio show from there, and I want to do a live Facebook video, man. I want people to get interviewed on Facebook and see what they really think about what happened here. I think it'd be dynamite.
I think it'd be really fun. So we're going to plan on trying to do something like that. We're just kind of, you know, holding on, waiting for the occasion to arise.
That's it. We just got to have Ed put all his equipment in his little red wagon, man, bring it up there, and we'll get going.
Oh, yeah. Ed.
I got somebody doing the live Facebook video. It's already happening.
Yeah, Ed's always the guy. He's the master tradesman here. Thank you so much, Andrew, and looking forward to talking with you on Tuesday when hopefully we got a lot more businesses opening up here in Florida.
Yeah, I told my brother I'm thinking of firing him. I don't think he's energetic enough, I said.
Well, he's got to be careful because he admits he has a little condition. And he's in New York.
He's got a condition, all right.
He's a great guy now. You know that he is.
Yeah, he is. I love my brother.
I know you
don't get me wrong.
I know you
All right, my friend.
Thanks for your time, buddy.
All right, my friend. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes, Andrew the Master Barber. All right. Wow. What a crazy world we're living in right now. A philosopher once said, may you live in interesting times. It doesn't mean that interesting times are great times for us. It just means they're interesting times. That's what we are living in. Okay, going to take our final break. When we come back, you know, walking outside really can make a difference in your life right now. We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tan Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works this morning, and we thank you for joining us. We are here, by the way, every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network. And you can listen to our show anytime your little heart desires, now that you're hunkered down, because Big Ed has set all of our programs up on podcast. All you have to do is go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look for the podcast link at the very top. Click on it. Opens up a little little radio program. And you can listen to us. You'll even know who the guest is and who the top 10 is. And we thank Ed for always putting that in there for us. He's a great guy. Now, you're sitting around in your house. You're getting cabin fever. We're going to talk a little bit about walking. Ed, do you do any walking around the house?
Not
do you
as
like
much
to go out and walk?
Not as much as I want to because my knees are not that great.
Okay.
But I'm trying to do more and more bicycling.
Okay, fair enough. That's an aerobic as well.
Yeah.
That's an aerobic as well. Well, walking can be kind of a behavioral preventative against depression. Did you know that?
Yeah.
If you get outside and you walk around the block on a sidewalk, or in your case, get on the bike and you do a little aerobic on there.
Yeah, I was walking last year. I was walking about 6 miles a day.
Were you? That's a lot.
And I had my headsets on and you just kind of zone out, yep. You know.
Yep, exactly. And this is from the Wall Street Journal. I saved this from a few weeks back. Walking benefits us on many levels, physical and psychological. You know, it helps produce protein molecules in muscle and in brain that help repair wear and tear. One of the people, I may have mentioned this before, you know, the great classic author Charles Dickens, you know, he wrote Christmas Carol, David Copperfield, all those kind. Did you know that he used to take long walks and that he said that when he came back from them, that he felt more inspired to write? Kind of opened up his brain a little bit, yeah. Which was kind
of... Some of your best thinkings, either while you're walking or after.
Exactly. Exactly. And the way that the brain and the physical, the muscle are repaired have been intensively studied for their health effects. Also, you know, walking is essential to our nature. Walking upright is one thing that sets humans apart from most of the other animals. No other animal does it naturally, although, you know, bears will get up on their hind legs and chimpanzees, et cetera. But they usually walk on all fours. We're the only one that walks on all twos. And says that around a year or so of age, we make the transition from crawling around on the floor to getting up. And at first you hold on to some furniture, you know, and you hang there for a while. We struggle upright, we fall down, we stumble a bit. Eventually we start walking fluidly and fluently. Experiments by psychologists like Marilee Opezzo and Daniel Schwartz at Stanford University show that walking boosts creativity, like we said about Charles Dickens. They asked people to quickly come up with alternative uses for common objects like a pen. They found that people who they got to walk before coming up with alternative uses came up with almost twice as many novel ideas as those who just remained sedentary. So their brain was apparently more open. So do a 20-minute walk, you know, even if you're walking on a treadmill, or do a 20-minute biking, because you get the same thing on, you know, one of those aerobic bikes. I know you do. You know, it's just what you're doing is you're really releasing blood flow into your body, which includes your brain. So that is our medical tip for the day, Ed. And I think I see a lot more people out walking around now.
Oh, boy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, in my neighborhood, I can tell you, because I used to bike, as you know, and then I went down to walking, and there are many, many more people out there now wandering around. So, you know, that's kind of good in its own way, getting people out there like that. Okay, Ed, it is time for the top 10 best places to go for the greatest beaches in the world. Now, I think you're going to find this, Ed, because we live in Clearwater, Florida, and in the Clearwater, Florida area, and we pride ourselves on our beaches. They're beautiful here. White, soft sand. They go on for miles and miles. But we've decided we're going to look globally and see where the greatest places are to go, if you could do it, for beaches. And as soon as I find out where the heck I put my... top 10, Ed, we're going to do it. So
this could be a quick top 10.
Quick top 10. Where are we? Stay with me, buddy.
Yep.
Stay with me. You get on the drums and loosen up. Here we go. It's got to be one of these here. It's going to be the last one for sure. Oh, here it is. Okay.
And this is gonna
get
be-
on the drums, my friend. Here we go. Top 10 beaches are best places in the world for beaches. Number 10. Phuket. Now, that is in Thailand. Phuket. It's an island. And it's home to natural wonders like Patong, Karon, and Kamala beaches. Number 9. Railay Beach. Also in the Thailand area. It is abuts the Andaman Sea, composed of four main beaches, home to pillowy sand, crystal clear water, and staggering beautiful cliffs. All right, number 8. Kauai. Have you ever been to Hawaii?
No, I've not.
Okay. Kauai, I guess it's pronounced?
Kauai.
Oh, Kauai. Okay, thank you. Go over to Polyhale State Park. Beautiful shorelines. They overlook the island's jaw-dropping Napoli Coast cliffs. Number 7. The Bahamas. 700 islands. From massive resorts like Atlantis, Paradise Island, to privately owned islands. Number 6. The U.S. Virgin Islands, which I've been to.
And I've been to, too.
Yeah, you have, too. That's right.
Every year.
And what is that? That Megan's Bay. Megan's Bay is so beautiful.
Yeah, Megan's Bay is just unbelievable.
It really is. And all types of traps. St. John, St. Thomas, St. Croix, they're all there. Number 5, Maui. Maui, that's a big island in Hawaii, mm-hmm. You know. The island boasts impressive beaches, both big and small, as well as the black sand shores at Wallanapapanapa State Park. My goodness. Number 4, Tahiti. Tahiti, the 118 islands that make up Tahiti, known for top-notch sand, verdant jungles, lavish resorts. Number 3, Bora Bora.
I was just going to say, where's Bora Bora?
Yeah, it's there. Bora Bora, French Polynesian island. I bet it's really something to see. Mm-hmm. Small but mighty. It measures only 6 miles long, too. Number 2, the Maldives, or the Maldives. The tropical paradise features 22 ring-shaped atolls. Those are like volcanic little mountains made up of approximately 1,200 islands, with each beach more beautiful than the last one. All right, Ed.
Let's go back to Hawaii for number 1.
You think Hawaii? All right, roll the drum. I'm afraid not.
No.
I'm afraid not. Have you ever been to Fiji?
No. That makes sense.
It's Fiji, boasting 333 islands, resplendent resorts, sparkling waters, endless stretches of pristine sand, the perfect spot for paradise-seeking beachgoers. Now, by the way, USNews.com was where we came up with that list. But I can tell you, if you haven't been to the beaches in Clearwater and Clearwater Beach, you're missing a lot. Get on down to them once we open up again. Hey, thank you for being with us. We will be back on Monday. Stay safe, and remember, freedom works.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
Special report coronavirus update. Frustration is mounting for small business owners who say the federal relief package is inadequate.
More from Washington correspondent Scott Carr.
Mike, that $350 billion aid package for small American businesses passed by Congress March 27th is being called by some small business owners, according to the Wall Street Journal, a kind of senior executive protection program.
It is not a blue-collar, very small business, Main Street business protection program.
The Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program included in the package promises up to $10,000 in grants for eligible applicants, but companies are only able to receive $1,000 per employee, half of what some were expecting, and they complain such aid mainly supports the employees but won't keep the business open for the workers to return to. Scott Carr, Washington.
White House advisor Larry Kudlow is saying the administration will focus on pro-growth measures and remove